Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 22nd of October, recording at 9:07 p.m. And still British summertime. Now, first the highlights here today, and it's been a bit of rock and roll. We had generally softer stock market trends in Asia. No really big selling. Slightly more selling in Europe. Declines of over 1% for the most part, up to 1.5%. Wall Street was lower for most of the day, but then closed near the highs of the day, effectively wiping out yesterday's decline from the highs that we had also seen. So that puts the Dow and the S&P right back within easy reach of their recovery highs for the year to date. And long-dated government bonds, a quiet day here, nothing much to report there. The U.S. dollar had been a little firmer earlier on, but it weakened a wee bit here in the latter trading as Wall Street rallied. Most of that Wall Street rally, incidentally, occurred from 7 p.m. That's British summertime, 7 p.m. onwards. Now, and precious metals sort of ranged nervously for the most part, but pegged back declines towards the close. We're in after hours trading right now, and I see platinum. Platinum's the steadiest overall near the highs of the day and almost unchanged, whereas gold, as I speak, not, I tell a lie, gold is up 50 cents at 10.5950. So they came back. And industrial metals, a little bit mixed, but copper down 2 cents, but well off its lows. And crude oil, which is down a tiny fraction, but very steady here, 81.19, and it had been nearly a dollar and a half lower at one point. And soft commodities, corn's a little bit firmer in here. I see not a great deal elsewhere. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, there's a lot of nervousness because markets have done so very well, and a number of people have been saying, where's the beef in terms of economic activity? And at least the partial answer to that is that the beef is pretty good in terms of corporate earnings that have been coming out, not least on Wall Street, which remains the most influential stock market of all. So, and also we've reached the point now where those earnings are not just on productivity increases. They owe a fair amount to that, but it's gone a little bit beyond that, indicating evidence of economic recovery. But the main thing is that these stock market gains have been so impressive, and the pauses so few and far between. We had the one mild correction that was really, depending on which market you're looking at, from mid-May through to mid-July. And then we had all in one day, we had a number of quite clear key day reversals on the upside, and the rest, you know, stock markets took off, and we've seen nothing other than very small pauses and consolidations during the rally. The one exception to that is China, which of course peaked in late July after a steepening uptrend, saw a medium-term correction of nearly 25%, but is firmer now. So despite the nervousness, we can say that the leash effect is still positive. But again, nervous markets. Owen mentioned last night that we'd had small key day reversals on at least the Dow and the S&P 500. But again, significantly, no downside follow through today. As a matter of fact, the keys were countermanded. So it looks as if stock markets so far are consolidating by mainly holding their ground. And as we both mentioned so many times, it would take breaks in the very orderly progression of higher reaction lows to indicate the onset of a medium-term correction. So, weigh it all up. What can we conclude? Well, this is definitely a bull market. There isn't anything about it that hasn't been bullish technically, confirming and reconfirming, really since the beginning of the end for the bear market back in October, right on through to March's downside failure. And when that happened, fuller money themes like Brazil, like China, were leading on the way up and had already established upward trends after their October lows. So, let's say entirely bull market action, but people know that we are very likely to see periodic reactions and the odd correction or two, or the occasional correction or two, because that's in the nature of trends overall. So, weigh it up though. Background, this is a bull market. Slightly overbought, point number two, slightly overbought in the short term. Therefore, this is, you may feel it's more than slightly overbought in the short term. Therefore, this may not be an optimum time to add new money. Generally, as a general rule of thumb, at Fuller Money, we prefer to add money within uptrends following reactions. Or failing that, following breakouts from clear, recognizable trading range consolidations. So that's the background overall. At this stage, I don't think the downside risk is enough to warrant taking much money off the table, if at all. And I'm not taking any money off the table in terms of my long-term investment positions. But people may want to see some of their favorites pull back a little bit before increasing overall equity exposure, if they intend to increase overall equity exposure. In terms of bull factors, monetary policy trumps everything else more often than not. Monetary policy is still extremely accommodative. We have debates daily as to when this will change and how it will change and whether it will change too soon or too late or whatever. But that's just good debate discussion. The fact is, monetary policy remains extremely accommodative. Now, I had an interesting email. I won't repeat the whole thing, but reminding me of three things that I'd pointed out that had caused, that I'd said would cause stock market problems, and things that I've been pointing out since 2006 onwards. And one of them was a would be a surge in long-dated government bonds. That hasn't happened, and it won't happen thanks to quantitative easing. What happens after the quantitative easing ceases is another matter, and I would expect bond yields to move up, but that's not a problem for the moment. The other factor that I'd mentioned from 2006 onwards was a disorderly run on the US dollar. Well, that dollar decline steepened into 2008, into mid-2008, as you may recall, with the dollar in US dollar index falling to a new all-time historic low, and that did provoke, in my opinion, multilateral intervention, although it was never publicly announced. In past occasions, it had been the intervention had been publicly announced. We had the jawboning, and then we had some very, very strong demand come into the dollar, which looked like more than short covering to me. But the dollar has been very soft, as you know, and there's every indication from the trending activity that it's going to go back and have a look at those lows once again. So that certainly any break below 70 on the U.S. dollar index would mark the onset of a headwind, an increasing headwind for markets. And psychologically, people are already a bit nervous about this, and it's discussed on an almost daily basis. The other factor is crude oil prices, and I've often said that every spike in crude oil that we've seen, genuine spike, has triggered a global recession. And we certainly had that last year, peaking in July at $147. It was devastating. It was a far bigger factor for the global economy, I believe, than the West's credit crisis, as serious and shocking as the credit crisis obviously was. So crude oil at $80, $81, $81.25 tonight. This is not a crisis at this stage, but once crude oil, and I think it's a matter of not if but when, once crude oil starts to establish itself on the wrong side, the upper side, in other words, of $100, I think people will certainly start to fret about that. I think it's definitely going to happen, but I don't know if it will be next year. I don't think it'll be this year, but it could be next year, or it could take longer. The longer it takes, the more breathing space the global economy and perhaps the stock market bull run actually has. So those are all things to watch in here. But if I appear to have accentuated the negative, it's only because when things are going so well, and they have been going well, they continue to go well, but that we do need to look at what can go wrong. I call that wall of worry if you want, or paranoia or anything else. But I'm bullish. I'm not as bullish as I was earlier on in the year. How could one be? Because we've seen such terrific gains. So I'm less bullish than I was, but I'm net still bullish. Because there is not a shred of evidence that the bull market is over. But we've reached a stage now where we can start to talk about some of the things that will be present as the bull market does end. And in the meantime, before the bull market ends, I do think we will see a medium-term correction for the markets that have not yet seen that. And I also think that will be a buying opportunity, as we've been saying. China's reaction was a buying opportunity. Long-dated government bonds, I would expect them to remain range-bound while the quantitative easing continues. They remain a canary in the coal mine to watch. The U.S. dollar, I've covered. Now, precious metals, they're ranging in fairly tight patterns overall. I increased my exposure a little bit here today because I'd had a couple of stops triggered earlier in the week, or I think I'd had three stops that were triggered. So I've leveraged up a wee bit more in here today. And short-term indicators on some of the precious metals, I'm referring to the very short-term stochastics, which you can see in the library. They are slightly overbought, but the trends are what really count in here, and they're very clear, and they are clearly upwards. So I think we will see precious metals moving higher, and the only thing that would delay that, I feel, would be if we saw a medium-term correction occur sooner rather than later. In other words, if we tip into one tomorrow, then I think that would delay the next leg upwards on precious metals. But I think precious metals offer terrific opportunities still over the over at least the medium term. This is a secular bull market, in my view. It was severely interrupted last year. That gave us another buying opportunity to participate in the same advance that we've seen all over again. Industrial metals, very firm. Crude oil, very firm. Some of these agricultural commodities also show improving patterns. That is, I'm referring, of course, to the ones that haven't already seen big moves, such as cocoa and sugar. And I think that's pretty much it in terms of the highlights. So I'll just say all the very best to all of you.